This is Upstate's HealthLink on air. Linda Cohen here with you. Sexually transmitted diseases, also known as STDs, continue to be a public health concern, with the CDC estimating that nearly 20 million new cases occur each year. And most experts agree that controlling their spread depends a great deal on education. Well, here with more on these diseases and what you need to know is Heather Shannon, certified nurse midwife and the director of Upstate's Midwifery and Gynecology. Welcome, Heather. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Linda.
So STDs, or sexually transmitted diseases, are still considered quite a health hazard, and some are on the rise. I've been reading that syphilis was eliminated in the U.S. almost a decade ago, but currently we've seen an upsurge in it. It's actually on the rise. Tell us about that.
That's correct, Linda. Nationally, we are starting to see the numbers nearly double to triple in terms of syphilis rates across the country.
Yeah, and is it hitting a particular population at this point?
At this point, we are finding that more and more men who are either bisexual, homosexual, or men having sex with men, who are heterosexual but for other reasons having sex with men, there's an increase in this population of syphilis.
So those are the ones who are most strongly affected at this point. That's where we see the rise occurring.
That is correct. However, there is a carry-off that those men who are heterosexual, who are having sex with men for whatever particular reasons, are passing it on to women unknowingly.
So, in fact, syphilis is rising in both men and women.
Men and women, but more so in this particular population of men having sex with men.
Tell us about Onondaga County, though. It sounds like we are also having a rise here, I mean, reflecting what's going on in the nation. What's going on right here in Onondaga County?
Well, Linda, back in 2008, there were three known cases of syphilis in Onondaga County. In 2014, we had 56 cases that were diagnosed.
I'd say that's quite a rise.
That is a significant epidemic.
How do you know if you have syphilis? I mean, what does syphilis look like? What does it feel like? How would someone know if they had it?
Typical signs are painless ulcers in your mouth, on your genitals, or along the anal area, a rash. And typically, a telltale sign of syphilis is rash on your palms or the soles of your feet, but it's not always there. So if you do have a diffuse rash throughout your body, you may want to be considered for testing, as well as unusual hair loss and maybe some onset of hearing changes, maybe some eye changes, maybe some eye infections that could be a sign of syphilis.
So any of those things to be on the lookout for. But isn't it true that in many cases, syphilis has no symptoms, or somebody can be totally unaware they may have it?
That is correct. It's not like you have a vaginal discharge, or you do not have to have an ulcer along your genitals or in the mouth. Many times you do not realize you have the symptoms.
And basically it just occurs as a result of having sexual relationships with someone who has the disease.
That is correct.
And there's no other way to really know that if someone doesn't know they have it.
So that is correct.
Wow. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on air. I'm Linda Cohen here with certified nurse midwife Heather Shannon. We're trying to talk about STDs and get a handle on all this increased incidence. Why is this so worrisome? What are the effects of syphilis in particular, but STDs? What can it do? What are the consequences?
Well, STDs are really broad, and they do have some serious consequences if you have one, whether it's syphilis or any of the other ones that are out there, especially for women dealing with reproduction. So infertility could be a problem. Scar tissue could be developed, which could cause the difficulty with getting pregnant or achieving a full-term pregnancy. In terms of syphilis, there's some neurological issues that can occur, and eventually you could die from syphilis.
So syphilis, I mean, generations and generations ago was the kind of thing that went untreated, unknown about, and people ended up basically even becoming mentally unbalanced.
Correct.
And having severe neurological symptoms and dying from it.
That's right.
So basically, syphilis right now is the one that's on the rise, but are we having problems with these other STDs? Let's talk about what some of the others are that are of concern.
The other STDs that are concerning are the gonorrhea and chlamydia, as well as HPV. But gonorrhea and chlamydia, typically you do have symptoms, whether it's a vaginal discharge or an odor, or men may have a discharge from their penis in certain cases. So if you feel that there is something unusual or you don't feel right in your genital area, you need to be evaluated.
Let's talk a little bit about what each of them are, because I don't think people really understand it. So chlamydia is a bacterial infection, so it's sexually transmitted.
That's correct.
And it affects what parts of the body, specifically the urethra?
The urethra, the vaginal canal, the uterus, and it can also go up into the tubes for women. And in terms of men, it can occur within the urethra.
I read somewhere that the eyes can be affected as well.
Definitely. With childbirth, and that's why it's very important in pregnancy for women to be tested for gonorrhea and chlamydia, because a chlamydial infection as well as gonorrheal infection could be very dangerous to the baby, whether it's sepsis or whether it's an eye infection that can cause blindness.
Passing through the birth canal,
that's correct, when they deliver.
Mm-hmm. And usually, how would you know if you have chlamydia, and what does that feel like?
So it's usually just symptoms of vaginal discharge with possibly an odor, an abnormal foul-smelling odor. But not all women have those symptoms. So there's women who may have one or any of these infections and not know it. And that's why it's very important for women to go for their annual GYN screening. It's typical and it's recommended by the CDC for any woman under the age of 30 to have cultures for gonorrhea, chlamydia at their annual screenings with their pap smear and co-testing for HPV. That's very important because many of us do not always carry symptoms of these STDs.
Let's go on to gonorrhea. I want to talk about each of them, and then I want to talk again a little bit more about what are the recommended screenings that each person should have, whether they be male, female, and what have you. But what exactly is gonorrhea? I mean, it's often been called the clap. I mean, I've heard that kind of, thrown around, but it's sexually transmitted. It's also an infection. Is it also bacterial?
It is bacterial.
Okay. What does it affect? What parts of the body?
As with chlamydia, it affects the genitals. So you deal with the vagina, the uterus, the cervix, and as well as the fallopian tubes, which leads to pelvic inflammatory disease in women. For the men, it's also the urethra as well.
So, and the kind of symptoms, again, is burning, some kind of a foul-smelling discharge, what have you. And if you have any of those, you don't always have symptoms, but if you have any of those symptoms, you should really be checked out.
That's correct.
But let's get to treatment now. So if you have any of those things, these things like syphilis, chlamydia, or gonorrhea, what is the treatment?
It's typically an antibiotic, depending on the particular bacteria that we're dealing with, whether it's gonorrhea or chlamydia or the syphilis. Antibiotics is the primary choice recommended by the CDC. Some are in injection form, some are in oral form. Very rarely, for a bacterial infection, which is not typically considered sexually transmitted, there is vaginal forms as well.
And how effective are the antibiotics in curing these diseases?
They are very effective as long as you are taking the full dose as recommended.
And do you have to repeat that? In other words, is it the kind of thing where you can be reinfected?
You can be reinfected. It's very important that when you are diagnosed with a sexually transmitted disease that you notify your partners so they could be treated as well. That helps decrease the transmission to other people. Besides being treated with you and your partner, you do need to refrain from intercourse until you've completed your course of treatment, as well as come back into the office for a follow-up culture to make sure that you are cured.
Right. Let's get to HPV. I don't want to get into great detail about it, but there's been a lot of controversy about it. That's human papillomavirus. And that can lead to what in people?
It can lead to cervical cancer in women. It can lead to genital warts in both men and women. And it can also lead to anal cancer. It can lead to oral cancer, throat cancer, both in men and women.
And that basically is also, it's sexually transmitted.
Correct.
And we don't have, but it's a virus. It is not a bacteria. So we don't treat it with antibiotics. So let's discuss very briefly, what do we do with it?
So with HPV virus for women, it's very important that you go in for your annual GYN exam and get your co-testing, which is now your pap smear and HPV testing. That is the only way we could diagnose whether you have positive HPV or not. So it's very important. And there's specific guidelines in terms of your age, as well as your past history of cervical cancer or cervical disease related to HPV, in terms of how often you need to come in for your co-testing. But it's very important at a young age, you do come in for your annual exams, and we recommend coming in at the age of 21 for your first pap smear and HPV test.
But we're also talking now about the vaccine. Tell us a little bit about that and why it's been so controversial.
So there's an HPV vaccine out there. There's two types that are available. I won't name the name brands, but there are two types. One of them deals with the warts, the two most common wart HPVs, as well as the two most common cervical cancer causing HPV viruses. The other vaccine only deals with the two types of cervical cancer HPV, so you lose a protective benefits for a potential wart, low-risk HPV.
But what's the recommendation in terms of what age and who should be getting this vaccine?
So it's common that at the age of 9, both girls and boys are offered the HPV vaccine. I would say by the age of 11, hopefully they have received their first vaccination, and it's a series of 3 vaccines over a 6-month window.
And the thinking there is that if you do it before an individual becomes sexually active, they can be protected from basically getting this virus.
So with the HPV virus, and that's correct, Linda, with the HPV virus, there are over 40 strains that are out there. And unfortunately, this Gardasil HPV vaccine only deals with the two most common that causes cervical cancer. So yes, you are protected from those two types. However, you have 38 others that you could be exposed to during your sexual history. But we know that these are the ones that are the most high risk for developing cervical cancer. So it is worthwhile to having your child vaccine.
So just very briefly, in the little bit of time we have left, what are the recommendations for screenings for all of these types of STDs, first screenings for men and women? When should you be screened? Who should be screened?
At any age, if you have any symptoms that you're experiencing, you need to come in and be evaluated. If you don't have any symptoms, you at least need to be evaluated on an annual basis, which is once a year. HIV is very important to be tested, as well as syphilis, which are both blood tests. So I would highly recommend when you go to your provider to ask for these tests. It's not always offered.
Specifically, though, are gay and bisexual men encouraged to be screened at least once a year at this point, given the fact that syphilis is now on the rise among that population?
Definitely at least once a year. If they are in a higher risk population, then it may be more frequently, which could be every 3 to 6 months.
And how about women in general? If you're pregnant, should you be screened
for? You do need to be tested as soon as you come in for your first prenatal visit. You will have the blood test for HIV and syphilis, as well as the vaginal cultures for the gonorrhea and chlamydia. And every pregnant woman does need to be screened, and periodically throughout the remainder of the pregnancy.
And one last piece. If you find that you have any of these, you really need to notify any of your sexual partners of this.
Any and all.
Very, very good. Thanks so much. My guest has been Heather Shannon, certified nurse midwife and director of Upstate's Midwifery and Gynecology Program. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.